Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Good morning. Good morning. Isn't it great that He alone is glorious? He alone is glorious. He's the one who is worthy of all glory. Wasn't it great to be able to start our service this morning with baptism? To celebrate a profession of faith to the world. To celebrate somebody going from death to life. You often hear people say, well, I don't have a testimony. I didn't have anything crazy in my life. I wasn't living wickedly and evilly before I got saved. But here's the reality. Every single one of us have a testimony because we all have went from death to life. Amen. And it's because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 28 as we continue our study through seeing that Jesus is our great high priest. And then also in our three-part sermon series, how we see the better priest, better hope, and better covenant. And so today we begin that third and final part of this three-part series sermon of seeing how Jesus is the better priest, the better hope, and He brings the better covenant. So join me in reading Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. And the Word of God says this, "And it was not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever.'" Thank you, Asham. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But He holds His priesthood permanently, because He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for His own sins and then for those of the people, since He did this once for all when He offered up Himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come here and gather together to worship You this morning, Lord, and to fellowship with one another, Lord, God, I pray that Your presence is just among us, Lord. That Your Spirit is just here and among us, Lord. Convicting us and leading us and guiding us in our lives, Lord. To chase after You and to follow You, Lord, more increasingly every day of our lives. God, this morning as we begin to see that You are the one who is eternal, that You are a priest forever, that You are a permanent priest, and that You are a perfect priest. Lord, help us to take it all in. Eliminate all distractions. Eliminate everything that's taking our minds somewhere else, Lord, and help us to focus on You and Your Word this morning, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, open everything about us to be able to see, hear, know, and believe Your Word this morning, Lord. Because what we're going to hear today is such a powerful truth. Because You are a permanent priest and we have eternal life forever. And it all comes through you, Jesus. So God, we just thank you for sending Jesus this morning to die on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. We pray all of us in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Have you ever bought something that came with a guarantee? Have you ever bought something that came with like a 1-year guarantee or a 2-year guarantee? Or maybe it was a 5-year guaranteed. Or maybe you bought something that came with a lifetime guaranteed. Anybody ever bought something that had that? I have, right? And you hope to one day be able to use it, right? Maybe, I don't know. But maybe the product that you purchased, it actually failed at some point, and you had to use that guarantee that you got when you purchased that product. And so you scrambled through all the receipts trying to find that one receipt in order to be able to take it back. And you finally find it, and then you realize that the receipt has faded so much you can barely read it. And so you try to take it back to the store, and they're like, we can't read this, you know, what are you talking about? There ain't no guarantee on this. This is crazy. At least that's how it feels, right? That's how it feels. Or it expired last month or last week. Those are the worst, ain't it? Those are the worst. My grandpa is a major Craftsman fan. Anybody else here fan of Craftsman tools, especially like the wrenches and the all those tools like that? I'm a fan of the Craftsman tools. My grandpa was a big fan. He loved Craftsman tools, and you know why? They had a lifetime warranty. No matter what, if the tool broke, how it broke, it didn't matter. You just took it back, and guess what you got? A brand new Craftsman tool. As long as it said Craftsman across the wrench or the tool, you got a brand new tool. There is no telling how many times my grandpa used that to his advantage because he had a broken tool and he needed a new one. So he would just go and get it. But the Craftsman company, they honored their word, didn't they? You took it back and they honored their word. They gave you the new tool. Church, this morning while we're talking about Craftsman lifetime guarantees and other companies that give lifetime guarantees, I want to talk to you this morning about someone who gives an eternal life guarantee. Jesus. He guarantees eternal life forever. You think of John 3:16. I think I might have it here. For God? Nope. There it is. Sorry. We both clicked it at the same time. You think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. You think of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. And who? Jesus Christ. Church, as long as Jesus is in our lives, He will forever be our Savior. And He will, and this forever is eternal life guaranteed. Eternal life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you struggle with feeling like you are saved sometimes? Or saved forever? Do you struggle with feeling like all of you is saved? Everything about you. Do you sometimes maybe doubt your salvation? Or maybe you wonder if you're truly saved or not? Our passage today is going to highlight just about each one of those questions there, and it's going to teach us that Jesus is the one who will forever be our high priest, and He is the permanent and perfect high priest. My hope is that by the end of this sermon, you are confident, wholly confident in your salvation, 100% confident that you are saved and will have eternal life in Jesus. So in our final sermon on this 3 parts of seeing why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant, we're going to see 3 more reasons. And the first reason that we see is the better priest is the guarantor of the better covenant. The better priest is the guarantor of the better covenant. We see this laid out for us in verses 20 through 22, and I will put the verses up on the screen for you so that way you can see them there and reference them. But I also want to just encourage you to reference your own Bible. Don't forget your Bible. Don't forget you have it with you. I know we have scripture on the screens, but don't forget to flip pages in your own Bible and see it there for yourself. But in these first three verses here, 20 through 23, there's two things that we need to know and understand that will help us to understand that Jesus has guaranteed the better covenant. And the first thing that we see here is Jesus became a priest with an oath. He became a priest with an oath. And we see this in verses 20 and 21. And the author is comparing the Old Testament priest with the New Testament priest, and how the Old Testament priest became priest not by an oath. They were never sworn in. You think of the, you know, a government official being sworn into their role, if that makes sense. This is kind of the idea that we see here, is Jesus is swearing in Jesus as the final and better high priest. He has given an oath. And for the Old Testament priest, they were never, by the word of God, sworn in as a priest. They were never there as a priest based on God telling them to be there. The only thing that God said regarding the priest of the Old Testament was that, hey, you're from the tribe of Levi, therefore you will be a priest. Does that make sense? They were never sworn in. As we learned last week, one only became a priest because of when another died. Another passed away. But Jesus is entirely different than the Old Testament priest. And this makes Jesus greater, and this makes Jesus the better priest, because he was sworn into the priesthood by God himself. And we see that happening in Psalm chapter 110, verse 4, which the author is quoting here in verse 21. You look there at the very end of verse 21. And the author is states, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. We've read this quote many times already in Hebrews. The author has relied on this one particular verse here many times to talk about Jesus and how he's the better priest. But this time the author is really drawing from the words, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, and therefore Jesus is a priest forever. The Lord has sworn in Jesus as the high priest, and when God makes this oath, it is eternal. It's eternal because God's will doesn't change. And God doesn't change his mind, or he doesn't change his will. What he has said is going to happen. And in this case, he swore that Jesus would be the priest forever. The priest of the Old Testament, they were only ever meant to be there temporarily. They were only there for a season, only there for a moment. But Jesus has been sworn in forever. Forever. And this leads us to the second thing we need to know here. Because of this oath, because Jesus is priest forever, Jesus is the guarantor of the better covenant. He is the guarantor of that. We see it here in verse 22. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. This is actually the first time in all of Hebrews that we have seen this word covenant used. It's the first time we see it used. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on it today, because in chapters 8 and chapter 9, the word covenant is repeated multiple times. And we will explore and see and have much discussion on the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant in chapters 8 and chapter 9. But it's almost as if the author kind of threw this word in there to begin to get the early Hebrew church to thinking about the word covenant. Thinking about what it means. Of how God made a covenant with Abraham. How God made a covenant with Moses. How God made a covenant with Adam. How God made a covenant with Noah. how God made a covenant with so many people in the Old Testament. But I think the particular covenant that God is speaking about here in this passage, or the author is trying to draw in this passage, is particularly the covenant of Moses and the law. This word covenant, if you don't know what it means, it basically means that it is a formal agreement between two parties. This party and this party, and they make an agreement with each other. It's not a contract where if I do this, you get something, or you do that, I get something, or if something happens, we each get this, if that makes sense. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And we see covenants in marriage, don't we? When two people get married, they are making a covenant together to be with each other forever and ever and ever. We see covenants in different places. But this particular covenant that the author is speaking of here is the new and better covenant. The new and better covenant. The law, the old covenant, the law concerning Moses is the old covenant, and it's no more. That's what he's saying here. The law of priests was concluded in this old covenant. Now, we will learn more in coming weeks, but for now, just understand that the old covenant was the law, and that we only have a new and better covenant, a new and different covenant, the new covenant, which comes through Jesus. It's a covenant between God and humans that is mediated by Jesus. Which is why Jesus is our high priest, and it's also why Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. He is the one who mediates that better covenant. He is the one who intercedes for us in that covenant. Without Jesus, there's no better covenant. Without Jesus, there's no mediating happening. Without Jesus, there's no guarantee. One commentary writes it like this: Jesus guarantees God's fidelity and faithfulness, indicating that God will certainly fulfill His promise of forgiving the sins of His people. Jesus guarantees God's faithfulness, that He will forgive the sins of His people. Remember earlier when we were talking about lifetime guarantees and craftsmen and all those things? Craftsman tools and how you break it. You could take one and get it replaced. The word craftsman that is written on the side of that tool, that's what gets you that guarantee when you take it back, right? Jesus being in our hearts, Jesus being in our lives, He's the one that guarantees us eternal life. Forever guaranteeing our salvation. Forever mediating for us. And when we mess up, when we sin, when we make mistakes, when we fail to give God glory, praise the Lord because of Jesus, the guarantor, mediating on our behalf. We are still guaranteed eternal life. A lot of times I think we fear that when we mess up or make a mistake, God's just going to rip that out from under us. He's just going to yank that salvation right away from us. But you know what? Through Jesus. Because Jesus is in our life, guess what? We have eternal life guaranteed because He has forgiven us already. But how can Jesus be the eternal guarantor? Well, you know that He, because He lives eternally, as the author says. But the author goes on and he says it's because He is permanent. And so now we're going to look at the second reason that we're going to look at today. The better priest is permanent. The better priest is permanent. We see in verses 23, 24, and 25. And from these three verses, there's two things that I'd like to point out about how Jesus is the permanent priest. We see in verse 23 here that the former priests ultimately are not permanent. They are not permanent. They are many in number, Why? Because they passed away and another took their place. They passed away and another took their place. And so that number just grew and grew and grew. They were prevented by death to continue forever. And I've already stated many times, when one priest died, another took their place. None of them was permanent. No one lived forever. So this leads us to the second thing. Jesus holds his priesthood permanently. We've already seen that he continues forever, and he is a priest forever. He's the eternal guarantee. We saw last Sunday, that Jesus is indestructible. He cannot be ended. He cannot be destroyed. He's eternal. He's forever. But today, the focus is on how Jesus is permanent, as we see here in verse 24. But he holds his priesthood permanently. And because Jesus is the permanent high priest, the author is able to say in verse 25, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I want to focus on the word uttermost here. You may have read this and thought that, oh, he's talking about how Jesus can save anybody, anywhere. Any stage of life, doesn't matter where they are, Jesus can save them. And I want you to know that's true. No matter who it is, no matter who they are, Jesus can save them. Okay? But here's the reality of this passage. It's not talking about who Jesus can save. It's talking about how Jesus saves. It's talking about how Jesus saves you completely. Jesus saves you entirely. The use of the word uttermost here is that he is able to save fully, wholly, completely, perfectly, absolutely. Church, when we believe in Jesus and repented of our sins, we are wholly saved. Everything about us, we are completely saved, entirely saved, absolutely saved, perfectly saved. There is nothing within us that isn't saved. There's no part of our lives that isn't saved. And our salvation is final because Jesus is permanent and will eternally be mediating for us. Maybe this morning you have fears that rise up in you at times, wondering whether you are truly saved or not. Doubting your salvation maybe. Curious if all of yourself is saved. Maybe, just maybe over your life, you've asked Jesus into your heart multiple times because you have feared you've lost your salvation. And I believe this passage here today erases all doubts. Erases all those fears. Erases all those curiosities we have because we have been saved to the uttermost. And you can have full confidence and full hope that you are saved because Jesus is permanent. And you can stop asking Jesus into your heart because he's already there. We as Baptists believe that once you were saved, truthfully saved, you were always saved. Once saved, always saved, right? We believe that as Baptists. We do. Jesus being the permanent high priest demonstrates that truth to us today. So be encouraged, Christian, and know that you are completely saved. But maybe this morning you're here today and you have never believed in Jesus. Never repented of your sins and you are not saved and you know you're not saved. And maybe you even know that you are a sinner and that God's wrath is upon you. And you know that if you died today you would go to hell. You know that. But friend, I also want to encourage you and let you know that that can all change today. Every bit of it. Your life can change today. God can change your heart. You can be fully saved from the wrath of God. You can be fully forgiven and fully made perfect in Christ. And you can have a full relationship with God through Christ. Because God is holy and because we are sinful, we can't be in relationship with God unless we too are made holy and righteous like Him. Unless we are made as if we've never done anything wrong against God. But God in His goodness sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, for your salvation. He would be born of a virgin. He would live a perfect, sinless life, but yet He would be put on the cross. And although He had the power to remove Himself from that cross, He stayed there, sacrificing Himself for your sin and your salvation of all those who believe in Him. And so this morning, you have ultimately two ways to respond. You can respond by continuing to live in your sin of unbelief and unrepentance. Or you can respond by believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and repenting of your sin, and following Jesus, making Jesus Savior and Lord of your life, and you too will have eternal life. And Jesus will be your permanent high priest forever, and you too will be completely saved. Everything about you, every sin you've committed in the past, every sin you're going to commit in the future, it has already been forgiven. It's already been put on the cross the moment you believe in Jesus. So if you would like the opportunity this morning, if you would want to believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, you feel the Lord drawing you to Himself or calling you to Himself, this morning I pray that you just submit to that. That you respond by believing in Jesus, the Savior and Lord of your life, and repenting of your sin. And if that's you this morning, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you after the service to talk about what it means to be a disciple and follower of Jesus. This leads us to our third and final of seven reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. The better priest is perfect. The better priest is perfect. I suppose that all of you are thinking right now, at least I hope that all of you are thinking right now, well, yeah, we know that. I hope you know that. I hope you know that Jesus is perfect. And I'm thankful that you know that. But sometimes it's good for us to be reminded of our perfect Savior because it reminds us of our imperfection. And it reminds us that we need Jesus. Without His perfection, there's no salvation for anybody. But we also can't lose sight of the Hebrews audience here. This Hebrew church, they're still learning of the superiority of Jesus, about how much greater Jesus is than the priest, and why they can trust Jesus, why He can be their better hope, and why Jesus brings the new and better covenant. And the author points to the perfection of Jesus to show them that Jesus is better, to show them that Jesus is greater. And so he begins by stating that He is the fitting high priest. We see this right here. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. We've saw this word fitting before. We've read it before. We talked about it before in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. After the author of Hebrews was explaining that Jesus is greater than the angels and how Jesus has suffered death as a man in Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 10, he states this right here. For it was fitting that Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. It was fitting that Jesus would be the Savior. And here in chapter 7, the author is using this word again to prove that it is fitting that Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the perfect fit. Have you ever put a glove on your hand? You ever put a glove on your hand and it's just the perfect fit? Oh, it's just the best glove in the world. You put it on, and you've kept that glove forever because I don't know why they use that phrase, fits like a glove. I've never understood it because I've never really found a glove that truly just fits me, that goes all the way down to this, that goes to the end of your fingers. I've never found a glove that fits like a glove. Does that make sense? See where I'm going here? I don't know why I would use that phrase, but Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus is like that glove that perfectly fits. You put it on your hand and you go, wow, this is the best glove in the world because it fits me perfectly. Jesus is fitting. He is fitting because he has no need to offer sacrifices daily. No need to do that. No need to do that. The priests of the Old Testament, they had to offer sacrifices every single day. They had to do it first for their own sins, and then they did it for the sins of others, sins of the people. Every single day they woke up. Every single day they woke up. They had to make sacrifices. And they had to do this because the people of Israel were imperfect. And they had to do that because they themselves were imperfect. They themselves made mistakes, sinned against the Holy God. But Jesus, as our passage says, is entirely different. Look at verse 26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. It's all because Jesus has overcame sin and death. Jesus is perfect, the exact opposite of the priests. As verse 27 goes on to state, he has no need, like those other priests, to offer sacrifices daily. And he goes on and says, since he did this once for all, when he offered himself up. Jesus is never going back to the cross. Jesus is not on the cross anymore, and he's never going back to the cross. He's not. He's never going to sacrifice again. When Jesus said, it is finished, in John chapter 19, verse 30, he meant that it is finished. In that moment, salvation was accomplished for all who would believe in Jesus, for every single person that has believed in Jesus, and for every single person that will believe in Jesus in the future. Salvation was accomplished in that moment because it was finished. Praise God that it is finished. And that Jesus doesn't have to go back to the cross. And church, this is why Jesus is the better priest. It's why he's the better hope. It's why he brings the better covenant. And it's all because he did it once. Once for all. And you know what? This once for all sacrifice is eternal because as we've already learned that in verse 28 points out to conclude chapter 7, verse 28 goes on and it says that Jesus is our priest forever. A great verse that sums this up real well for us, I believe, is Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which goes on and says, Therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Church, we're no longer condemned because of Jesus and His once-for-all sacrifice. We are no longer condemned because as believers, His righteous blood flows over us and washes us clean. We're no longer condemned because we have been forgiven. We are no longer condemned because we have an eternal high priest mediating for us forever and ever and ever. Are you believing that today? Are you truly believing in the hope that Jesus gave that day when He sacrificed Himself for your sins and for your salvation? I'm afraid that some of you believe it, but maybe you don't always live like you believe it. You live in guilt because of sin. You live in shame because of sin. But church, you don't have to live with that guilt. You don't have to carry that burden of guilt and shame with you. Because of what Jesus accomplished on that day. He knew when He died for you on that cross that you were going to make a mistake again. He knew when He died that day that you were going to fail to give God glory. He knew that day when He passed away on the cross that you were going to make mistakes. But yet He did it anyway. And you know what? He doesn't hold any of those sins against you. Not a single one of them. Not a single sin that you have made or committed in your life. He's not going to hold it against you, because on that day at the cross, Jesus forgave you, all of you, every single one of your sins, past, present, and future. Live like you believe that Jesus died once for all. So, in our sermon today, we've seen three reasons why the better priest is a better hope and brings a better covenant. The better priest is the guarantor of a better covenant. He was sworn in with an oath, and he is eternal life guaranteed, as he will be eternally mediating for us. The better priest is permanent. He will never leave his office as priest, and he will never die, and he will hold the priesthood permanently. And because he is permanently our priest, he saves us completely, wholly, absolutely. And lastly, the better priest is perfect. He's holy. He's unstained. He's the exact opposite of the priest of the Old Testament, because he has no need to offer sacrifices daily. He did it once and for all. Is Jesus this morning your eternal life guaranteed? Are you trusting in Him to be your mediator for all of eternity? Is Jesus permanently in your life this morning? We talked about how Jesus is permanent. He's the permanent priest. But is He permanent in your life? Or is He only temporary when you need Him? Or when you want Him? Lastly, do you view Jesus as perfect? Does He remind you of your imperfection and your need for the perfect Savior? Church, Jesus is better. He's just better. He's better than everything in this world. He's better than any possession. He's better than any relationship, any job, any riches, any self-glory, any addiction that you may have. Anything, any sin, anything or any person, I promise you, Jesus is better. He's better than depression. He's better than anxiety. He's better than anything in your life. Is He the better and greater one in your life today? Or is something else better in your life? Is there a sin in your life that you are struggling with repeatedly that is better than Jesus? Is there a job in your life that is better than Jesus? Or let me ask this really hard question. Is retirement better than Jesus? Is possessions and hobbies in your life better than Jesus? Is there a relationship that you have in your life that is better than Jesus? What about yourself? Are you yourself better than Jesus? Church, I want to encourage you this morning to just draw near to Jesus. To draw near to Jesus. To search Jesus out. To seek Jesus out. To study Jesus. Cherish Jesus. Remember Jesus. fall in more love with Jesus, because the greater that Jesus is in your life, the greater that Jesus is in your life, the more likely He will be better than anything else in your life. Jesus is better, and may He be big in your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Jesus this morning, for His sacrifice on the cross and the way that He died on the cross for our sin and for our salvation. And God, we just thank You so much for that. And God, we thank You so much that Jesus is better, that Jesus is greater, that He is the eternal life guarantee, as He's the guarantor of the better covenant. We thank You so much that Jesus is permanent. He's permanently our high priest. It's never changing. And God, we just thank You so much for Jesus being the perfect high priest. May we be reminded every single day of our lives of our imperfection, and remember the gospel of Jesus, because we need it daily. May Jesus be better and bigger than anything else in our lives today and all the days of our lives. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.